We're going to dish these out for a fiver. That's discounted. We actually paid more than that for these, but these you can get these for a fiver, but we're going to use these when we have our outreaches and things that we do in the town. We will also be doing some T-shirts in due course, but they're quite smart, aren't they? They're adjustable. If you've got a big head, they can adjust. They can suit, okay? Love, Crawley. Martin's going to be looking after those. So if you want one, please speak to Martin. I've got Paul here at the front. So, hallelujah. Father, we just thank you today, Lord, that you want to speak to us. We thank you that you want to advance your kingdom in our lives and in the church. Father, we are here. The reason we meet here every week as a church is we want to see your kingdom advance, not just in Crawley, but in our nation. And Father, we thank you this morning, Lord, that we have a vision, and the vision is, Lord, to see revival for a generation, is to see a generation of people changed by your Holy Spirit's power through a thriving church and through thriving churches up and down this in this nation. And Father, we thank you that you want to turn the tide of a godless generation back to you. And we thank you. We're excited about that testimony this morning that Kirsty gave, and also for Joanne and others, Lord, that you're leading through to know you. And we pray, Lord, use each one of us, Lord, to lead people to Christ, to lead them to you, Lord, the living Jesus, the living God, and the power of the Spirit, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you'd like to turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 11, we're going through a series of studies in the Gospel of Matthew. And this week was particularly challenging. I don't know if you got challenged by it. What would you do if someone came to your door at gunpoint and said, you know, you either renounce your faith or we'll kill you? I don't know if you got to that in your group, but what would you do? Are you willing to be persecuted for loving Jesus and for serving him? I wonder what your response would be. If it was illegal for us to preach the gospel about Jesus in the college where Kirsty works, or in the town square where we often work, what would we do if we were told, well, you can't do it, no, it's illegal? What would we do? What would our response be? If we were told that we would be imprisoned for our faith, what would our response be? Because we need to work out now what we would do. None of this, well, you don't know until it happens. No, you need to know now what you would do. You need to plan ahead, because there are going to come times, as the Holy Spirit's poured out, there's going to be a great move of God. There is a moving of God, but with it there will also come great persecution. Just thought I'd cheer you up on Mother's Day with that one. There is going to come a stronger time of persecution, and God will use that actually to refine the church and cause the church to become even more powerful. So we need to be clear about what we would do and where we stand with God this morning, that we would not back down if we are faced with, well, you're either going to have to stop or you'll go to prison or whatever. But we will say, no, I'm going to continue to serve God and speak out for him and declare his praise. Now, we need to be wise in this society that we're living in. We need to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. So we need to be careful, not stupid. But there comes a time when we need to stand up and be bold for Jesus Christ. Amen? And the power of the Holy Spirit will enable us to be all that he wants us to be for the gospel's sake. Now, in Matthew chapter 11, which is actually the chapter that you'll be looking at this week, I'm just going to pull out a couple of verses. And I've called my message this morning, Advancing God's Kingdom. Advancing God's Kingdom. And in Matthew 11... and verse 12, it says, and Jesus says, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. I like that. The kingdom of heaven suffers violence. Now, that word violence means to force. So it says the kingdom of heaven suffers violence. In other words, it takes force, or something needs to force something from God's kingdom to come down upon the earth. Does that make sense? So that word violence means to force. And it says also, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. And that word take means to snatch away forcefully. And there's another scripture in the New Testament, in one of the other Gospels, that says that the kingdom of God is forcibly advancing. So if you put all of that together, what God is saying, he says, I want you to be a violent person. Not physically violent, but violent in your faith, forceful in your faith, if you like. Because that word violent means being forceful. And as an English man, I know what us Englishmen are like. We tend not to be terribly forceful. But God is saying, you're people of the kingdom, and you've got to be forceful in your faith. I'm not talking about forcing it on people who don't want to hear. I'm talking about a forceful faith, a faith that is dominating, that is taking its position in prayer, in Christ, in the workplace, in the town centres, wherever we go, that we are proclaiming who Jesus Christ is. And there's something on the inside of us that is very forceful. Does this make sense?
Amen.
It's called faith. And the faith that Jesus was living by was a very forceful faith. That's why he was never caught out. He always knew what to do. It's because he was prayed up. And in that praying, he'd taken hold of the things of heaven. And he'd actually snatched them, if you like, taken hold of them, snatched them away from just being in heaven and brought them into his own life. So that for that particular day, he would release the power of the kingdom of God to heal the sick, to deal with demons, or whatever it was he had to deal with in the course of that day or that period of time.
Amen.
Jesus was very forceful.
Amen.
And yet he was the most gentle, the most humble person that's ever walked on the face of this earth. That's right, isn't it? That's what he's like. And I want to talk to you this morning about advancing God's kingdom in your own life, in your family, in the church, and obviously in this nation, in Crawley, East Grinstead, and other places. We have to be a violent people. And it's not just going to come down, wafting down out of heaven and just drifting into our laps. We've got to take hold of it in prayer. That means that we've got to work at something. We've got to do something, not out of our own strength, but we have to do something in order to take hold of what God has for us. Amen.
Amen.
Getting up early in the morning to pray, setting aside other times to pray, to meet with God, spending time reading the Bible, actually putting it into action in your daily life. These are different ways in which we can become forceful men and women of God. And God's looking for the church in this nation to be a forceful church, a dominating church, a church that knows who they are, and is actually ruling and reigning in the place of prayer with authority, so that as we go into our workplace, into our communities, wherever God sends us, we are carrying that authority of the kingdom, and we are therefore advancing the kingdom.
Amen.
Just a very, very simple example. This week, we were in the town centre, in the square, after being told we couldn't do it by someone who in authority in the council. So we prayed and then met with this man and said, look, this is what we want to do. This is what we plan to do. And we talked it through, and then he agreed that we could go.
Hallelujah.
And could do the thing that he'd said that you can't do it.
Hallelujah.
So God changed something around, because in prayer it was established already, this is what will happen. Are you with me?
Yes.
Forceful faith. And it's forceful faith that gets answers to prayer. It's forceful faith that perseveres. It's forceful faith that pushes through, that breaks through. It's forceful faith that gets answers and sees things change. Not always in an instant, because we're living in a very instant society where at a press of a button you can get your cup of coffee. At a press of a button you can get this, that and the other. We want things instantly. Touch the computer and it should all be singing and dancing for you. Mine doesn't always do that, But so we're living in a time where everything is there. But when it comes to faith, there's some things that don't come instantly. There's some things that we have to work through in prayer until the answer comes. Does that make sense? There's some things that don't just come on a plate. And that's why we have to be activated in our faith, know what God says, and start declaring his word of faith, and see things change. So God wants you to be a person of violent faith.
Amen.
A people of violent faith, that we are forceful in the things that we know God wants. And that we are snatching away, or taking away from heaven, from God, the things that he is downloading to us. We take hold of those things, and then we give them out. We give out the kingdom. That's how we advance the kingdom of God.
Amen.
I read through a leaflet that Pastor Colin produced just a week or so ago, and I'm not going to read it all to you, but it was based on Apostle Anselm, who came to Faith Camp, was it 2 years, 3 years ago? And he said this, he said, the church is a movement. The devil hates the church moving forward. Believers need to take advantage over him, or he will take advantage over them. Forceful faith, right? The enemy can triumph where there is ignorance of him and the way he works. And where there is ignorance of the authority believers are given over him and how to exercise that authority. If you don't know you have authority over Satan, then he will have authority over you. If you don't know the authority that you have over demons, they will have authority over you. If you don't know the authority you have in Jesus' name and through his victory on the cross that we've been celebrating this morning, then you will not know how to, or you will not be able to overcome your particular difficulty, because Satan sends assignments against us. Personally, against sometimes the families, in the church, there are assignments that are sent against us. And the great news for you and me is that God says, I've given you the victory so that you can kick him in the teeth, you can put him under your foot, and you have authority over him. Amen. Through prayer and through doing something. There's always, with prayer, there's always an action that follows prayer. And it says we need to have a mindset that nothing will hinder us from moving forward. Nothing will hinder you from moving forward. If you've got hindrances, that's to try and stop you from moving forward. If you've got obstacles that are in your way this morning, that's because the devil does not want you to move forward. But I've got great news for you today. God does, and he will enable you to move forward. He will enable us as a church to move forward, because God's kingdom is advancing. And we're moving with his kingdom.
Amen.
Amen. We're moving with his kingdom. We are advancing his kingdom in our own lives. That's where it all starts, in our relationship with him. And keeping that strong connection that we talked about last week, but also advancing together as a people. Begin to make a difference as a whole group of people in the places where we live. The enemy is defeated when believers have the light of revelation as to how to move forward in the power of God. The enemy seeks to set up barriers, both personally and corporately. These are strongholds he wants to keep in place. So they are barriers we need to pull down using the spiritual weapons God has provided. There are three main barriers, and the three are these. Number one, limitation. Limitation, putting limits on you. Well, you can't do that. And you begin to make that, I can't possibly do that. No, I can't do that. No, I'll never be able to do that. Limitations, where it's a mindset that God has to change. We have to have our minds renewed. So the first area of attack is limitation. The second one is stagnation. That's when you've limited yourself and you get stuck. There's no flow in and there's no flow out. You become stagnant. And that's also a place where the enemy wants to hold us. And then the third barrier is turning back. That's when you give up and you go back to worldliness. You go back to old things. You go back to old patterns of thinking. You go back. Those three areas, limitation, stagnation, and turning back, the three areas, barriers that will stop us from moving forward. And he said here, we must not allow intimidation to prevent us advancing against the enemy. We must break the chains of limitation. We must break the chains of stagnation. If you've got stagnant, get refreshed. God wants to do something fresh with you. And if you've turned back, then turn back to God. Return to God. And if you want to read the rest of this, I can get you copies. Let Nigel and Suzanne know if you'd like a copy, and we'll get these printed for you and pass them around to you. But it's all about breaking satanic strongholds, breaking strongholds to advance the kingdom of God. Anyway, that's just to whet your appetite there. Come with me to Matthew 11. And we're going to look right at the end here. So we're talking about having a violent faith. We're talking about being a people who are forceful in our faith in prayer. And we're taking hold of what God says, and then we begin to declare them ourselves over our lives, over different situations. We literally snatch away, we take those things from God, and we start working with them in our lives. This is our violent faith that God's called us to live in. And at the end of Matthew chapter 11, it says in verse 20, let's read it, verse 26. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight, all things have been delivered to you, to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. And Jesus says these amazing words. Come to me, all you who labor, weary, burdened, and heavy laden, and I will give you, what's the word say?
Rest.
Take my yoke upon you. That's to do with God's will, God's word, and God's will for your life. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly, humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls.
Amen.
You know, there's an awful lot of people out there who are looking for rest, who are looking for peace in their souls. There's a lot of people in the church that are looking for peace in their souls, and Jesus is the provider of that rest.
Amen.
In the first scripture we looked at in verse 12, it's talking about how we're to live. Violent faith, right? That's the action. It's to do with activity. It's to do with where we're going with God in our relationship with him and the things he's called us to do. In this scripture, this is talking about our position. This is talking about living in a place of rest. And the way that you do that is you come to Jesus. It's very simple. You just come to him. And Jesus says, come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. Well, that covers all of us. Because at some point, whether it's not, you may not be this morning, but at some point, we all have times when we're burdened, where we're laden, there's things that we're carrying that are too big for us. And Jesus says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you my rest.
Amen.
If you were to take a quick trip to heaven this morning and be in the presence of the Lord, one of the first things you'd experience is incredible peace and rest.
Amen.
You'd just be overwhelmed with the peace and the rest that literally is like something that washes completely over you. And that peace and rest, we sometimes experience that in prayer meetings and worship times. There comes a stillness that where the presence of God just comes. But, you know, that rest is what God is living in all the time. That rest is what Jesus accomplished for us when he died on the cross.
Hallelujah.
So that he could give us his peace, make peace because of his precious blood. And he wants us to be living in that place of rest. It's called the rest of faith. You can read about it in Hebrews chapter 4 if you want to do a little bit of homework on it and learn more about it. But in Hebrews 4, it's talking about entering into that rest. So it's a position. It's another way of living by faith. Does that make sense? Take my yoke upon you. That's talking about God's will and God's word over your life, where we come into his presence, we listen to what he has to say, we submit ourselves to God, and as he begins to show us what he wants from me, it says, take my yoke upon you. So we begin to take his word and take his will upon our lives, and he says, as you do this, you're going to learn what I'm really like. And you'll discover that I'm gentle and lowly in heart. My spirit is with you. I'm upon you. And you'll find rest for your souls.
Amen.
And my yoke is easy and my burden is light. In other words, God's going to carry you to do, he's going to enable you to do his will. And in this room this morning, we've got an amazing call upon us as a church. We have amazing things that God has called us to do, both at a personal level and a corporate level. God has amazing things for us to do as a body.
Amen.
And I know you haven't seen it because you're not saying, yeah, this is fantastic. God has amazing things for you to do. God has miracles that he wants to release through your life. God has hundreds, if not thousands of people that he wants saved through us as a bunch of people this morning.
Hallelujah.
God wants to release amazing things through us. And it's all because Jesus Christ is living in us. And as we discover what verse 12 of Matthew 11 really means, and we begin to live with this violent, forceful faith and activate it, we're active in that faith. As we begin to live in the rest of faith, that's to do with our position, that we're in a place of peace with God, where we're doing what he's asking us, we're obeying him, you'll find that the Holy Spirit is the one that's doing the work. The Holy Spirit's doing it through you. The Holy Spirit's actually working it. You're walking with the Holy Spirit. You're trusting in the Holy Spirit to do his work. So it's actually him doing it more than you.
Amen.
That's what it means to, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It's not a sweat
No.
to live for God.
No,
God wants to make it peaceful and restful.
Amen.
Amen. Even though it's very active, God wants to fill us with this amazing peace. So we're talking about the things that we do in faith, forceful faith, starts in prayer, starts in declaring the things in prayer, and then action that follows the prayer. And then we're also talking about our position of faith, our rest of faith. And if we have these two things, we'll have revival. If we're really living in what Jesus spoke about in those two verses, we will have a move of God happening through the church in this nation.
Oh.
It's all to do with our connection again. It's to do with our connection with the Lord himself. Now just come with me to Isaiah 58, because I want to just talk a bit this morning. Keep those things in your mind about faith. Forceful faith and the faith position of rest, of peace, living in that place of trust, of abiding in him. And in Isaiah 58, I'm going to talk about fasting and prayer, because this is another activity that God has given us to do to advance his kingdom. We're talking about advancing God's kingdom this morning. I remember some years ago, a friend of mine called Glyn, I remember we started a fellowship. I think June and Jeff, I think they were just about a part of it then, Marion. And we decided that we were going to fast and pray for 3 days. It was a great idea. And about 2 hours into this fast and pray, he fell sick and I felt really hungry. I think he actually gave up, I think, that morning, and because he felt so bad. We come under real heavy attack. Because whenever you fast and pray, there's an enemy who doesn't want you to do it. So we've got to be very deliberate in this fasting and prayer that happens Wednesday, Thursday and Friday of this week. You have to decide how you're going to do it and what part you're going to play in it. But as we fast and pray, I want to just bring out some important things about fasting and prayer, because Jesus fasted and prayed often. And here's the reason. Let's read about it in Isaiah 58. We'll start reading at verse 5. Is it a fast that I have chosen, says the Lord, a day for a man just to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head like a bulrush and to spread out sackcloth and ashes? Would you call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? This is my own version as well. Is it a time to lose weight? Is this the kind of fast that God wants? No, not particularly. What is it then? This is it, verse 6. Is this not the fast that I have chosen? It's to loose the bonds of wickedness. This is the first reason we are to fast and pray. Not just fast, but pray and fast. It's to loose the bonds of wickedness. That means to unbind or undo or break the bonds of wickedness. So what does that mean? That means if someone is bound up by something that has held them for years, we have to fast and pray for that binding to be broken, for that chain to be broken.
Amen.
And fasting and prayer together, those two things together, are very, very powerful under the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God. It's not just about going without food. It's all to do with focus. It's so that our faith is focused on the Lord, and that we're willing to sacrifice during that time, whether it's a meal a day or all the meals over those 3 days, whatever you decide before God to do, God will enable you to do, and he will show you what he's asking you to do, because we're all in different situations. But it's actually to loose or to unbind the yokes of wickedness. This is very powerful, because that happens through prayer. You actually take authority over those demonic strongholds over a person's life, sometimes even over a whole area that where people are affected by demonic things. And as you fast and pray and declare the authority of God over those things, the Lord gets to work.
Amen.
Amen. And mixed with your faith, because it's all to do with faith, mixed with taking, you know, not having food, but really praying through, God will honor that. It's not a way of twisting God's arm. We're actually bringing God's will into being by fasting and praying. And what happens is, I've discovered that when I go without food, my faith gets a lift. So God actually deals with our unbelief sometimes through stopping the food or stopping watching the TV, stopping some things that we fast just for that period of time, where we focus with faith on God for the things that we're specifically praying about. Now, one of the things that we're going to be praying about We're going to pray about a couple of weeks' time when Apostle Benjamin comes and spends the weekend here. Because I believe that God has spoken, and he said that he's going to bring some very strong prophetic words for us as a church. He's going to bring something actually into this area, into Crawley, that the churches and church leaders need to hear. So rather than just turning up on the Sunday and or the Saturday and saying, well, it's great, this Nigerian guy's arrived, let's just hear what he's got to say. Why don't we participate and get a little bit violent in faith and prayer and start praying, God, we don't just want part of your will just by hearing. We want your full word and will to come through your servant on that weekend. And so what we're going to do on behalf of the church and on behalf of what you want to do, Lord, we're going to pray for Apostle Benjamin. We're going to fast and pray that your word and will be released. Amen. Because God wants his kingdom advanced.
Amen.
Amen. So that's one of the important reasons why we want to fast and pray. You may have some issues as well that you need to fast and pray for. Use the time to do it. There may be people that you're aware of that also need fasting and prayer. So fast and pray on their behalf. But it's to unbind the bonds of wickedness. It's to undo the heavy burdens. Right, things that we can't do unless we pray. It's amazing to me that sometimes the first thing I should do to pray, but it's the last thing I want to do. When I want to go and pray, I feel tired, I feel weary, I have about 1,001 thoughts come at that time when God says, I want you to pray. I have this long shopping list of things that I should have done, which I still haven't got done. And we have a battle in prayer, but we have to overcome and obey God and get to that place of prayer, because that's where everything happens. And as we get into that place of prayer, fasting and prayer, we will loose the bonds of wickedness. We'll literally undo heavy burdens. Burdens that people are living under, we can't necessarily physically lift them off them, but we can pray them off of them and then see something happen. Because it's a spiritual battle that we're in. And it's God's kingdom is spiritual, isn't it? God's kingdom is spiritual, therefore it needs spiritual weapons and it needs spiritual prayer and spiritual men and women who will get in that place of prayer and start declaring the things of God. And that's where the release starts coming. And here it is, it's to let the oppressed go free. So it's to free people who are oppressed. That means they're pressed down by heaviness, by depression, by darkness, by problems. They're overcome, the things are weighing upon them. That's oppression. And oppression comes from Satan, comes from the devil. And it says through fasting prayer, we can let the oppressed go free. So that means as we pray with faith, forceful faith, we can set people free by praying for them. By declaring God's word of victory over their lives, we can actually set people free. And the oppressed can go free. And it says, and that you break every yoke. That means every bondage over people's lives. And this is why we're to fast and pray. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry? This is now being very practical. It's saying as you fast and pray, you'll have a better idea. You'll realize just how many needs are around you. And even a very practical thing is it not to share your bread with the hungry? So this is about thinking about others. And the Holy Spirit will, when you fast and pray, I guarantee God will speak to you about somebody during that time that you need to go and help. Not just through prayer, but sometimes very practically, God will say, go and make them a cake or go and do something that will help them or bless them. And that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out. Just thinking about what Kirsty was saying earlier. You bring the poor who are cast out. You care for people that are poor, that are needy. Bring them to your house. When you see the naked, that you cover him and not hide yourself from your own flesh. Then this is what it says. If you do these things, this is all coming out of fasting and prayer. So it's not this super spiritual activity that has no results. This is talking about very practical results in people being healed, people being saved, in people being helped, in the poor being fed, and all of that. And it says here, verse 8, then your light shall break forth like the morning. Wow. It says, your light shall break forth like the morning. Your healing shall spring forth speedily. sometimes when God calls us to fast and pray, we haven't got everything exactly right in our own lives. But I've discovered that I may have my own personal needs, but when I get to fast and pray for others, God meets my needs. And so I don't often have to pray about my own needs. If I'll just get to meet with God and spend time with him and pray about others, my own needs will be met. And that's wonderful. That's great. And it says here, your light shall break forth like the morning. Some Christians are so absorbed with themselves, that's why they don't get free. Yeah. But if we would focus upon Jesus, upon who he is, and upon his kingdom, and upon others, that's where our freedom will come. God will set us free. If we need areas that need to be set free. And it says, your healing will spring forth speedily, your righteousness shall go before you, the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, here I am. So in other words, when you fast and pray, you get God's attention. Not because of going without food, but because during that time, you are pushing through into God. You are pressing through into the Lord. You're sacrificing some of the things you would normally do. You're denying your body, your physical body from food. And you're focusing on Jesus. And what that does, it brings out, it flushes out unbelief. It flushes out unbelief and doubts that we have. That's what fasting and prayer does. So there's a little bit of a battle that goes on, but you can win it. Because the Holy Spirit's living in you. And as you deny yourself, perhaps if you haven't fasted before, then just fast one meal and see how you get on. And ask each time that you do this, ask the Holy Spirit to give you the grace to focus upon him and help you to not just manage but overcome. And you'll discover that God has called us to do this, God will enable you to fast and pray very successfully in these 3 days. And you must decide how and what you must do, whether it's a meal or whatever it is. You decide before God. I'm not going to go around with a little checklist of, Marcy, did you fast the 3 days? Did you do night and day and only water? We're not going to do any of that. I'm just letting you know that God wants us to focus upon him. And what we'll do, God will release faith.
Amen.
Fasting and prayer releases faith in God. And when faith is released in God, then we start declaring the word, scriptures and truth that he speaks, and start taking authority in prayer over situations and declare it out loud. And I tell you, God is amazing. When we meet on this Thursday evening, we'll have an amazing time. We have an amazing time because the Holy Spirit's there and he wants to release that spirit of faith and prayer as we meet with him. And so that's what will happen this Thursday, and we'll start releasing the things of the kingdom, advance God's kingdom this Thursday evening as well as a body, as together. It says in verse 8, the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. You will call and the Lord will answer. You'll cry and he will say, here I am. Now listen to this. This is important. If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and the speaking of wickedness. This is all connected with fasting and prayer. So don't point at anyone else. Don't judge anyone else in the church or outside of the church. Just release yourself from all judgment of others. Leave that for the Lord. Pray God's blessing. If you see things that are wrong in others, pray for them. If you see something that was out of order, pray for them. That's your first call. And then just pray that God will help them and bless them and bring them into everything that he's got for them. Release yourself from all judgment of others. Don't point the finger. And don't speak wickedly. Sometimes I have to stop my own mouth from speaking things that I've already started to think. Don't speak wickedness. You have to be careful what you speak. You can have a great hour of prayer and go home and say something negative to your wife or your husband or your friend. You can undo what you've just prayed by speaking in the wrong way. God wants us to speak faith, live faith, speak his word.
Amen.
And fasting and prayer is really important. So don't undermine it by speaking wickedly. Watch what your words are. Make sure they're words of life. And start catching hold of them before they become words in your thoughts. Catch your thoughts. Put off the old. It says, we spoke about it last week. Put off the old. Put off the wrong kind of thinking. Put off negative thinking. be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new and start speaking what God says.
Amen.
So every situation you have, every situation we have today, you need to apply, what does God have to say? Come to a meeting this morning, what has God got to say? Out in the workplace, hit a situation, what does God have to say about this? And as we start living that way and thinking that way, you'll find that you'll start living more and more with the spirit of faith, because God has something to say about everything. And he wants that forceful faith, that restful faith in our hearts, where we can see God bringing his word and bringing change about. And it starts with you and me, doesn't it?
Yes, it is.
Starts with you and me. It says in verse 10, if you extend your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then your light shall dawn in the darkness, and your darkness shall be as the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought and strengthen your bones. Anyone want their bones strengthened this morning?
Amen.
Right? You shall be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. Those from among you shall build the old waste places. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations, and you shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to dwell in. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words. You see that fasting and prayer is about dealing with yourself, dealing with the self-life and putting him first. And what happens is, all that stuff, you can get yourself shot of that. And as you start meeting with God, you'll find that the spirit of faith is released. You start meeting with the Lord and faith is released in what he's called you to really do, which is to release his word and his will, his kingdom. Verse 14, then you shall delight yourself in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth and feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken.
Hallelujah.
Wow. That's powerful, isn't it?
Hallelujah.
And God has called us as a body to fast and pray so that his kingdom, his will be done in your life,
Amen.
In your family, in your marriage, if you're married, if you're single, in your life as a single person. God's perfect will should be done, right?
Amen.
God's will should be done in your workplace. God's will should be done with your finances, in your health. God's will should be done in the church here. God's will shall be done in the church in Crawley. God's kingdom come. God's will be done. And it's through fasting and praying.
Amen.
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 God's calling us to this, my dear friends. God's calling us to be a people of faith, forceful faith, living in a place of absolute rest in trusting him.
Hallelujah.
And as we fast and pray, God will cause faith to rise up within us. And I tell you, we're going to see things change. We're going to see God's kingdom advance because we took out some time. Instead of eating, we prayed.
Amen.
Instead of watching the TV, we prayed. And we devoted some time to God for his will to come.
Amen.
Let's all stand, shall we?
Amen. Thank you,
Hallelujah.
Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.